Welcome to The Dreaming Machine, the Geek Show's animation podcast. I'm Joe, and today I'm with Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
So, this is a primer episode, a spoiler-free guide to why you should watch Harley Quinn. So, straight up, so you've seen both series as of the... So, there's two seasons as of the time of recording. And you've seen both of them, yeah?
Yeah.
So this might sound weird. I've seen season two just because of when it happened to be available on TV when I discovered it and started watching it.
It's a very appropriate series, yeah. Considering the fact that getting a solo series for a character who is super popular in the comics, who was originally introduced as a sidekick in an animated series.
It's just kind of circular, I guess, could argue.
So it's kind of coming back around to her roots, yeah.
Yeah, but she's so much more, I'm not sure if fleshed out is the right word, but she feels like so much more now as a character than she was back then, in all our iterations, especially in this one. So this is, so it started in 2019, so fairly recent series.
They bashed out two seasons of it very quickly.
Yeah. Kaley Cuoco, who I knew from The Big Bang Theory, and there was another sitcom she was in too, but you know, great comic actress. She's the voice of Harley Quinn. I think, is it Lake Bell who's the voice of the like key character in it, Poison Ivy?
Yeah. So good. So good.
And yeah, there's a great voice cast. I guess I mentioned those two are the most like prominent characters, apart from the Joker, of course. Great voice actors. And it started off on, I think it was originally shown on like DC's own like streaming service, like in the US. And then Channel 4 or E4 picked it up in the UK. And they did a pretty lousy job of... They did some promotion initially, but then it was really hard to find, and I don't think they talked about it enough. And I was just going to say that it's a great show, and people should check it out, as long as they have the tolerance for like the swearing and violence in it and everything. But I think you were going to give a warning.
It's definitely not a show. It's definitely not a show that you probably want your younger children watching.
Your younger children just shouldn't watch this, I think, as I'd say. Definitely.
So I will say you might want to stick with it a bit. So at the very start of the show, they do seem to be laying that sort of thing on a little bit thick. It's like they've watched like a bunch of Adult Swim shows like The Venture Brothers. Mm. And they're like, ooh, we want to do that. We want to be like really edgy like that, and like have all like the violence and the swearing and check out how. And it feels like they overdo it a bit, like overselling it in the first couple of episodes. It's when that tones down a bit and they settle more into the stuff with really good actual dialogue for all the characters, like good writing, fantastic performances, and it relies less on the extreme sort of violence and everyone swearing all the time, and like that fades more into the background, and it focuses more on delivering really good storytelling and a lot of good humour all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that, because I think that's kind of the experience I had, actually. So I think I somehow, despite kind of picking up properly later around the second season, I did manage to see episode one of season one. And I still quite enjoyed it, but I thought it was relatively, like, inessential, and I wasn't going to go out my way to find it kind of thing. And I remember chatting to you and Rob about it, yourself and Rob, and you both said, oh no, it gets really, really good. So I ended up,
it does,
like,
yeah.
When I saw season two advertised, I then properly got into it and really enjoyed it, like, all the way through. And the swearing...
Season two is fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, I would say that the swearing is like kind of joyous. Like I do really like the way like Kaley Cuoco like just cusses and like and just storms around like really dominating with a character is like really entertaining. So
okay. So can I just check? We are just like this is gonna have like an 18 rating on it. This primer, right? Because of the show we're marketing to people.
Yeah, I think I think people definitely
fucking
want that.
Fantastic. Okay, so yeah, no. Honestly,
yeah,
like the amount it ends up with is probably the amount that I use in general conversation most of the time when I'm not recording like an all ages podcast.
Yeah.
I do like how sometimes it's actually used quite effectively as part of like as a narrative device as well, when it comes to certain characters like Dr. Psycho.
Yeah.
I can say it.
Yeah.
I can say it because I'm a woman. The cunt guy.
Yeah, this definitely has an 18 rating on it. Please continue.
Mm. Yeah, no. I do like how, like, the show, yeah, once it finds its footing, like, it does use that more, you know, the actual stuff like that isn't just done for gratuitous effect. It's just done as, you know, a thing regular people do in their daily lives that we all do. And it's made a lot of more of a big deal of in like media in a think of the children way, but we all talk like that.
Yeah, I think like I just wanted to mention. I know it seems weird to focus on the swearing, but I just wanted to mention that it is the characters are great and the storytelling's great, but also it is like you see, there's other shows like that are really gratuitous that I don't like, but this one. It's kind of like really cathartic and enjoyable, like
yeah,
weirdly,
yeah.
Just the joy with which they cuss and they do violence and the like irreverence of it and the humor of it and stuff. It just seemed that there's an enjoyment in that, even though there's great storytelling and the characters are great too.
Yeah, I mean, on the characters. There are so many good characters in the show. It's obviously Ivy and Harley, brilliant. Their performance is fantastic. Ivy is just the perfect straight man to Harley.
Mm.
And all of their interactions are just an absolute blessing. I love it. Every moment I'm watching those two interact.
I mean, what I liked as well is about Poison Ivy's character is, at first, she is a good straight man to Harley, but I was worried that's all she would be.
And then there's so much more.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And so they really...
The depth of their interactions.
Yeah, no, 100%. So so all these, there's quite a big ensemble cast, even though it's
yes, exactly. That's what I was going to get into. And. Yeah. Absolute show stealer in so many episodes, Clayface. Who was it who said that, that the most important decision with Clayface was not merely to make him an actor, but to make him a thespian. And it is... Clayface is any episode where Clayface is getting so perfectly deeply into a role is easily he just steals the show.
Clayface is fantastic. I think Bane, like on the villain side, I think Bane really stands out for me.
Yeah, no, this Bane is wonderful because they've taken all the memes and condense that into being the Bane character, and oh, it's just so good.
I just Before I saw the show, I didn't realise in my life I needed to see Bane struggle with a coffee machine at a meeting of the villain. Like, I didn't realise that was the thing I needed to see, but apparently it was.
Or be stuck on a little folding metal chair. while all the rest of them get comfy chairs.
I mean, I think with all these characters, the side characters and the characters who are typically villains in the comics, it is fair to say they go for the sillier, like funnier, like versions of them, basically.
Oh yeah.
And to great effect. I mean, even like when they go a bit darker, like Commissioner Gordon is still kind of funny. they really double down on his like beaten down cop persona side of his character
so heavily,
and it's kind of sad and bittersweet, but kind of funny, like how ridiculously downbeat he is, and all the
again, it reminds me a lot. I do think they were probably quite heavily inspired by shows like The Venture Brothers. Have you seen that?
I have not.
You absolutely should see it. It's a fantastic show.
Mm.
Another adult one that we should probably actually record an episode on, in case anyone's been hiding under a rock for the past... Ooh, I feel old now. It's a long time that show's been going. Venture Brothers fans generally have had to wait like 3 years between seasons.
Wow.
But yeah, it's because that show took the whole thing of sort of like the boy adventurer cartoon trope. And it's like, what happens when that person's like a middle-aged bloke with a lot of childhood trauma? Yeah. And I think there's quite a bit of that in this Gordon.
Yeah, it's weird how like when you go that dark, it makes it funnier. That's not how it should really work, but it somehow it does. Yeah, definitely. So I think there's also a couple of moments when it's kind of So what's really good is like it kind of breaks out from the formula you might think it settles into from at the start, which is good. So he's definitely worth sticking with. And also, they do little breakaway like gags and things sometimes that work really well. And without spoiling it, there's a great like comment on like certain like internet like fandom, like in one of as a cold open episodes.
I know exactly which cold open you mean.
Yeah, and it's like it's perfect. it's a perfect summation. So there's like this kind of there's a story going all the way through, of course, and the story all connects up with each other, which I quite like. But also, you have individual escapades, of course, but there's still a narrative drive throughout. But it will.
And
like,
the first season has consequences that are being felt right through season two.
Yeah, and I think that's needed. So you have this humor and you have these silly but really fun personas, but there's still like a narrative impetus to everything that's happening and things change.
Also, you know who we still didn't talk about?
Mm-hmm.
We still didn't talk about the person with the greatest superpower in all of Gotham. Kite Man.
Kite Man. Yeah, Kite Man's a standout, isn't he? Kite Man's just a normal dude. He's like thrown into the superhero world.
You don't expect Kite Man to like... When he's first introduced, you're like, oh, silly throwaway gag character for one joke. And then...
Yeah.
And then that goes places. Oh, it goes to some places. But, I mean, you can go places when you have a kite.
I think, like, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, I think if Kite Man is an inherently funny concept to you, without even having to say more, you should definitely watch the show. I think you'll totally be on board with it, it's fair to say. It's things like that. It's really funny. It's kind of like, I kind of love stuff like that. Like, I read Squirrel Girl comics, and they've got like a superhero called Koi Boy. Like, they've got like other animal chipmunk hunk, like other animal based like superheroes who are like kind of useless, but like really endearing and try their best, but God bless them, you know. Anyway, I digress. So yeah, it's you've got to have the high tolerance for the kind of adult content, and it is definitely adult content, but you'll be surprised and probably quite addicted to it as you go through it, I think, if you stick with it. I think that's a fair summation. Any other final thoughts, Amy?
Not really. I think absolutely it's a show worth watching. If you are wondering if it may have a certain payoff, I would definitely encourage you to stick with the show. I'm sure anyone familiar with me will have an idea what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We should. Okay. That's a good place to end it, I think. That's good. Yeah. Definitely check it out. Excellent. Let us know what you think. Let us know your theories about the future of the series. And many thanks, Amy. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye now.